Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for everybody that's watching us, whether you're here in person or watching us virtually. Lord, I just thank you that, as far as I know, everybody is healthy. And I just thank you for keeping everybody healthy. Father, I just pray for our time today, God. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds through what is said today, God. I pray for a moving of your Spirit as we talk about the Word, as we sing your praises today, God. I pray that we would have a powerful encounter with you, God. We just invite your presence to come right now. And come have your way with us. Whether we're worshiping or we are listening, God, I pray that we would encounter you powerfully. Come have your way with us. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about being a spiritually sensitive people, meaning burden bearers, which are those who feel what others feel, whether it is physical or emotional, for the purpose of praying for that other person. It acts much like a word of knowledge, and it's also similar to how some get things prophetically. And these people can either pick up on individuals or groups of people or a whole area. And depending on who or what God wants that person to do or pray for, it's an invitation from God to partner with him in his work by giving us the burden to pray and the knowledge of how to pray based on how we're feeling. But as we talk about burden bearers, those spiritually sensitive individuals, it needs to be said that all believers are spiritually sensitive. Our spirits have been made alive because as believers, we have invited Jesus into our hearts and lives to be our Lord and our Savior. He therefore has come into those of us who have made that decision, and he has come into our spirit, where he lives in us. You know, our spirit has gone from dead and lifeless and asleep to being awake and alive with his presence. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So we have opened ourselves up to him, and he has come into us and lives in us. And so every believer's spirit is now alive in Christ, but also it's sensitive now because of Christ, as well as the giftings and the anointings and the maturity levels of every believer. Maturity meaning that we're learning through time, we're learning through experience, and we are being taught how to read and interpret what God is doing in us through our feelings and understanding of those feelings. Now, I believe that the degrees of sensitivity and where it is directed will vary with each believer and the situations they're in and in what God wants to do and through them. And so, if you have been following along with me on this topic, I want to make the point that I'm not only addressing burden bearers, but I am also addressing all of us believers, because Jesus has made us all spiritually alive and feeling. And therefore, we believers are all, to a varying degree, sensitive spiritually. Now, we are obviously in a new time now, with things opening up, but the feelings are still high, and the thoughts and the opinions on things are on all sides of the spectrum right now. One of the big questions right now is, how do we function? How do we grow and understand as spiritually sensitive people in a new world that is still taking shape? How do I function in this world with what God has given me, whether it be something that he's given me that is a gifting, that seems to be something that is more consistent and regular with me, or with something that is an anointing that seems to come and go as God wills? And how do I function in my church as it has reopened after over a year of being shut down and reopens looking differently with COVID restrictions I mean, look around the room. You see COVID restriction all over the room. Chairs spaced apart, chairs covered. I mean, all these kinds of things. You know, everything looks differently now. You know, there's issues of people feeling safe. There are some ministries that are not happening right now like they used to. And some people, although some of you all obviously who are present in the room are here, there are those that aren't ready to come back yet. Some aren't able to come back yet. And so, even though we're open, it's not like it was before. And so how do we function in this new time? Who knows how long this is going to go on for? One of the things that I've been doing is letting what I sense come and embracing it, letting it in, feeling it, acknowledging it. I'll sit with it. I'll seek God with it. And I'll talk with others who also are people that are feeling and sensing and people that I know will give me good godly counsel as to what to do with what I'm feeling and with what I'm sensing. And there are a number of things that are going on in this time. And as a result, it can be distracting spiritually. There is the potential to pick up on and feel so much that it may be difficult or maybe even overwhelming for some. And there can be a temptation there for people to put a wall up so that they don't feel, and do that in an attempt to protect themselves because what they're feeling can be so strong or so uncomfortable. Or what I feel or I sense or I pick up is awkward, and I'm not sure what to do with it. And so the first thing is that we need is to not shut off, but to engage Jesus, being fully connected with Him, and come to Him with what we're feeling and we're sensing, and let Him speak to us and let Him guide us. As you hear Him, step out with what He tells you or what you feel or what you sense He's leading you with. And as you do, abandon the lie that says that whatever you step out in has to be perfect in doing it. You know, discernment grows with stepping out and learning with practice and taking risk with what the Lord is saying to you. I remember years ago when I was in an accountability group with other men with the church, and someone in the group had a dream. And the rest of the group and I all jumped in with our interpretations of what we felt that God was giving us. And when I did that, and then I listened to the other people that were sharing, I realized that my interpretation was not only wrong, it was way off, really off. And I recognized the truth in the ones who got it right. But eventually, I would start to get things more accurately. But it was honed by stepping out and taking the risk of being wrong. In John chapter 13, we have this story of foot washing. We have this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. And it says in verse 3 of John 13, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside His garments. And taking a towel, He girded Himself. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. So He came to Simon Peter, and He said to him, He says, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to Him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Now, in this, the setting here is that time was growing short. Jesus wanted to demonstrate something. He wanted to demonstrate an attitude that they were going to need to continue the work that He was leaving them with. It was the attitude of humility. It was the attitude of leading by serving, which we would call servant leadership. Now, Peter missed it at first. He jumps out with a response that seemed good to him. Foot washing was a job for poor servants and slaves. You know, washing people's dirty feet. A lot of the roads that people traveled back then were dusty, they were dirty, and people wore sandals. And so when they came to their destination, it was normal to have their feet washed because their feet were just absolutely filthy. And so this was a dirty job for poor servants and slaves. And it was not a job for the Messiah. It was not a job for the person that some of them interpreted the Messiah to be, which was a military leader. A military leader should not be washing feet. But upon Jesus' response, Peter saw that he was wrong. Jesus was also demonstrating what he was going to be doing, humbling himself by dying. And what he does in that selfless act, that act of humility, would cleanse all who would receive what he did. And so, for those who don't receive it, they can't enter into Jesus' kingdom. So Peter, not only does he not back away, as might be the posture of some who will do that upon making a mistake or feeling embarrassed by that, but he then jumps into what he's doing, what Jesus is doing with, no pun intended, both feet. Because it's the normal response of people a lot of times that when I think I'm wrong, I get embarrassed, I feel bad, I want to just back away. But Peter does not do that here. He goes forward. And this is how we need to be. We need to jump out there, we need to take risks, but to be teachable. When we make a mistake, we need to resist the temptation to retreat away and not try again. See the truth of the situation. Embrace it. That's how you learn. Your making a mistake is not a reflection on you as a person. For everything, there's a first time. There's always a point of being young in something. It's not failure. It's beginnings. Beginnings lead to learning and growing to maturity. And we're all experiencing a learning curve right now. And we need to be talking and helping one another right now. Now, so you may have found an answer that I need, and I may have come to understand something that you need. I think we're in a time of helping one another. And part of the new normal is that in this time, no one is a seasoned professional because we have not been here before. This is a new time that we're all in, and we're in it together. And so we need to have the attitude of a learner. We need to have the attitude of an apprentice. It's like the first day on a job, but we're on the first day on a job in familiar surroundings, which makes it difficult because we have the familiarity of where we are, but everything and where we're familiar is new, except, of course, for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And every believer has them. Now, because we are each different, we are each not going to learn the same way, nor will God's process of learning and development necessarily look the same with each of us because of our individuality. It might in some cases, but then in some cases it may not. Nor is everyone going to grow and develop at the same rate, or move through certain areas as rapidly or slow as we did through others, or through similar areas at the same rate as others did. Now, I mentioned before that we as spiritually sensitive people move through this new time that we're in. I believe that God is working with each of us. I mean, He always was. But I think that some don't see it. Some don't see it because they weren't looking. And some weren't seeing it because they were looking at other things. There were some that didn't see because they don't want to look. And some have worked very hard to not look. And when I talk about looking, I'm talking about us looking at ourselves. Because I believe it is it is a time that we need to be looking at ourselves so that we don't take the old us and our old ways into a new normal. As we step out into today, it is very important to be students of ourselves for the purpose of learning and growing in this time. So we need to be mindful of those around us, but we also need to know us. We need to know ourselves. We need to understand ourselves and let God work in us and speak to us about ourselves as well as others. And so this raises a question. And the question is, how do we learn? Or maybe I should say, how do you learn? Do you know you? Now, with me, for example, when we talk about learning and growing and things like this, some things I get right away. Other things, I have to go over it again and again and again and again. And as this happens, it confronts my pride and it confronts my esteem. I am harder on myself than I am on anybody else. And so I can have a tendency to beat up on myself, and I do a pretty good job of beating up on me. If you would see me at certain times, and this happens when no one else is around, but I mean, as I'm working on things and I'm not getting things, and I'm making the same mistakes over and over again, I'm calling myself stupid. I'll say to myself, "What is wrong with you? Why can't you get this thing?" You know, I mean. Does this sound like you, maybe? Does this conversation sound like one you might have with yourself sometimes? The thing about struggling with things, trying to learn things, trying to get things, is that sometimes the struggle reinforces these things in us. Some of the things that we learn the best are the things that we have struggled with the most. Now, some things will come easy, but some things don't. Not everything does. And some things that we wrestle with are not so much the real focus of the lesson either. With some things, our wrestling with them is really about God working in other areas in us, that the struggle surfaces when we struggle. See, God knows us better than we know ourselves. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Going down to verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. See, God knows us. God knows what we do. He knows when we will do it. He knows how we will do what we're going to do. He knows our thoughts. He knows us. He knows our ways, and he knows them intimately. He knows them deeply because he made us. He designed us. And he closely has had his hand on us before we were born, right up to this moment, and he will have his hand on us beyond this point. So he knows what you're going to say before you say it. You can't surprise him. You can't trick him. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. He knows how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, and why you're going to do it. He made you. He designed you. He crafted you. You know, I don't think you can see this on the video, but if you look at the front of our platform here, the woodwork here was not done by a carpenter. It was done by a craftsman. To have these joints fit together as seamlessly as they do is the work of a craftsman. And that's the kind of work God did in making each one of you. You were designed by someone that crafted you. He didn't just make you, crafted you. You are God's crowning achievement, each one of you. And there's not another one like you. You are totally unique. And God chose the time of your being on the earth and how long you will be here. And God chose you to be here during the time we're in right now. It's not an accident. We've been studying the book of Job in the Bible study. And it says here in Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come from?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said to him, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him.'" Now, these verses that I read, we covered these a couple of weeks ago in the Bible study. But here God is bragging on Job to the devil. And Satan has been roaming around on the earth causing havoc because he's always trying to mess with what God has done and God has created because he's the adversary. That's what he does. But he couldn't touch Job. There was no avenue to get into him. No open door that Job left open for him to get in. It says in verse 5 of Job chapter 1, it says, "When the days of feasting were completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them," meaning consecrate the children, "rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." So this is the kind of man Job was. He would offer up sacrifices to God for his children in the event that they had done something that they shouldn't. Getting up early in the morning and doing this regularly. So later, when he's stricken with boils all over his body, after he's lost everything, his wife comes to him and she says, "Do you hold fast your integrity?" In other words, she's saying, you know, in your great suffering, you still remain a man that is true to who you are. Now, he lost everything. And the thing about it is, when Job lost everything, guess what? So did his wife. He lost his wealth. She lost the wealth too. He lost children. She lost the children. And now she sees her husband suffering. And she says, "Curse God and die." You know, in other words, she's saying, "End your suffering." But first she says, "You still hold on to what you are." See, God knew Job. And God knew Job would be true to who he was because God made Job and designed Job. Satan did not. Satan is not creator, he's adversary. God is creator. And see, Satan sees us through a warped lens of criticism and through a warped lens of defeat. That's why he's the adversary. He's always going to be looking for fault. That's who he is. But God sees us through the eyes of love. And God sees with us what is possible in with us. He sees what's impossible, what is possible with us when nothing with him is impossible. And that the God of the impossible is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives. And so God will place us and allow things in our lives to teach and develop us because he knows what we can take and he knows what we need. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overcome you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. See, God knew that Job could endure. That's why he allowed it. And he used it to do a work in Job. He used it to do a work in Job's friends, as we will see as we continue on in the book of Job in the Bible study. And God allows these things to teach us, to encourage us, and to work in us thousands of years later. The book of Job was written for everybody that came after that time, for us to learn from it. God had Satan on a leash in that story. You know, a leash and how far he was allowed to go with Job. But this passage in Corinthians says that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. God will give us the way to go with what comes. And God will give us the means to endure. And God does this to teach us, to develop us, to mold us, to shape us, and use us from this to help others on their journey from what we have gotten from our journey. And I've said it before. I believe that the past 3 years have been God trying to get to us, to work in us, to reveal things in us, and to bring what has been out of order into His order. 2020 and 2021 has been, among other things, a time of exposing and developing and learning. And our reopening after a pandemic is not the end of a crisis. It's the next phase of what God is doing as things ease up and open. It's the next stage of what He's doing in us and developing us and showing us things about ourselves. The question is, are we learning? Are we walking with Him? Are we learning ourselves in this time? And this time is showing us things about ourselves that would not be seen any other way. Now again, using myself as an example, I have ideas. I have plans. I want to charge ahead. I want to start to do things now. This season of COVID has tested my faith. You know, trusting God with my health and with the health of my biological family and with my church family and with the church that God's entrusted me with. And entering into this past year where there were things that I saw and had been seeing that were of great concern to me. And God's word to me was, just trust me. I'll handle things. And so I had to endure. And I did. Trying to be obedient, but it was hard. There were things I wanted to do, but I couldn't. I just had to endure, and I just had to trust Him. And you know what? God did everything that He said that He was going to do. Then there was this weird time of doing church during the shutdown. We never had this before. What do you do? How do you do it? You know? He got me through it. He got us that were doing it through it. And now we've reopened. And as we do, again, I have thoughts. I have ideas. I'm trying to develop plans and strategies, and I'm reading things, and I'm analyzing things, and I'm trying to make sense of things. And as I did that, I experienced disappointment, and I experienced frustration, because as soon as I start to make my plans, things don't go like I'm hoping they're going to go. I can see right away, like, oh, that's not going to work. And in that moment, God comes to me, and He says, Jim, slow down. You're going too fast. You're moving too soon. Just slow down and just walk with me. Don't run. Don't jump ahead. Just walk with me. Step by step by step with Him. And as I do, I'm looking, I'm listening, and I'm thinking. And God is showing me things about what is around me. He's showing me things about myself. Showing me things that I have a tendency to do. And I'm starting to do them under the pressure of this time. He He's developing things in me. And as he does, he doesn't let me run ahead of him as I would like to. Now, at the moment I want to do that, I'm not thinking about running ahead of him. I just want to go. But in doing that, I'm in reality running ahead of him. And that is some of what he's been doing with me. And I have experienced some great hurt and disappointment personally. And God is working with me in that too. As I again want to charge out there and cross bridges before I come to them. And he's saying to me, wait, let me have it. Don't do anything yet. It's not time yet. Now, this is hard when it involves what is my responsibility. When it involves things that are deeply personal. When I've been hurt or I've been frustrated or I've been angered. And I have to go back and slow down and just walk with him. And disappointed that I don't have all the answers, but wanting to have all the answers and just having to walk with him. As God shows me and reminds me of things about myself. And as I see them, I acknowledge them and comply. And in doing that, I then position myself in doing that to let God work in me and use me now and for later and for others. Now, this is just a sliver of the process that I've been in. And I share that to give you an idea of what it can look like. Now, you may be able to identify with some of what I'm saying, and you may be hearing me talk and going, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I know exactly what you're saying. But some of you, the process will look differently because it'll be based on you personally and what God wants to do with you and what his plans are for you. As we go forward as a house of spiritually sensitive people, we need to know ourselves. We need to be open to letting God work in us and in our situations and cooperating with him so he can draw every ounce of what he is teaching and developing in us as uniquely spiritually sensitive individuals in our own individual situations and with all of us at the same time, but not all of us in the same way. God will meet you and work with you where you are. And the work with you is based on who you uniquely are. And God will use others to work his process in you and use you in someone else's process. Thing is, do you see those other people in your life? And are you cooperating? Or are you holding back and letting God use you with others? Or are you resisting what God is doing with you through others? Now, with some of you, he may be doing this through dreams and visions. Is he growing you through those ways? Is he stretching you through those things? Refining and sharpening your interpreting and your hearing and your discerning. You know, testing your obedience with what you're seeing and hearing. You know, keep in mind that God's testing is not for the purpose of God knowing, because God is all-knowing. He tests to develop us, to teach us, to show us things about ourselves and affirm things in us, which is important. You know, like with Job. You know, part of Job's, with Job's affliction, his integrity was proven in his times of affliction. He stayed true to who he was. His affliction affirmed who he was. And so we need encouragement as much as we need learning and developing. And so God will sometimes, as we go through things, test us to affirm to us how good we are in areas, how far we've come in areas. Now, going back to my earlier example about being in a group and misinterpreting the dreams, Those disappointments were part of my training. Eventually, things would get better. But, you know, it's like with Peter. You know, we talked about Peter earlier, and I talked about Peter last week also, in that Peter would, you know, he would step out with God, he would take risks, and he would learn from what happened. See, the real failure is to never step out at all. If we're going to make a practice, say, of playing it safe, where I only want to step out when I know I'm going to succeed, then it's going to hinder our moving forward. And we're never going to learn, and we're never going to grow. Now, again, in talking about Peter, like I said last week, you know, he rebuked Jesus when Jesus was talking about his death. And I mentioned him a few minutes ago here about rejecting when Jesus wanted to wash his feet. Peter made a lot of mistakes. Would you give him a nudge? you know, he tried to walk on water and he sank because he lost his focus. But he was the only disciple who got out of the boat. He was the only disciple to try. And he actually did walk on water. Peter was called a rock. And that rock was tested and processed through trial and error. In Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, it says this in verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." So he starts to quote the prophet Joel. He boldly talks about Jesus, which, by the way, was something risky to do at that time. He talks about King David. And the message that he gives in these following verses was of the same style as Jesus's. You know, Jesus would speak the same way. And here's Peter talking that same way. Why? Because he's being led by the Spirit of God. He was just a fisherman. He wasn't a learned man. He wasn't a schooled person. But he had walked with Jesus. And everything that he learned, everything he picked up through trial and error, you know, when we get to the book of Acts, everything that had been put in him had been activated by the Holy Spirit. And he gives a message that would be like something Jesus would say. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41, it says, "Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise for you is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his words were baptized that day, and there were added about 3,000 souls." When we go down to verse 43, it says, "Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." When we get to verse 47, the second half of that verse, it says, "And the Lord was adding to the numbers day by day those who were being saved." When we get to chapter 3, he gives another message. And when we get to chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Peter never dreamed that as he was sinking out on the sea and crying out to Jesus, that he was going to have a day like that. Or when he was intensely crying after denying Jesus 3 times. But they were parts of his journey on the way to what happened in the book of Acts. And Jesus is working in us. The question is, have you joined Jesus in that work in you and on you and through you? Do you know you as well as knowing what Jesus is doing in you and with you? And do you see what he's doing around you? And what's your response to that? Now, for those of you that are watching this online, I'm not just talking to the people in here. I'm talking to everybody that's listening to this. And so for you, those of you that are watching this, God is working on you just the same as he's working on all of us in here. And he's using you with the people you come in contact with and using them with you. And so the question is, do you know you as well as knowing what Jesus is doing in you and with you? And do you see what he's doing around you, and what's your response to that? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that as we move forward on the calendar from the day of reopening to going further and further down in this process, that you would just continue to work and move in each one of us, developing us, shaping us, molding us, growing us, but showing us, Lord, who we are, showing us our tendencies, the things that we tend to do, the things that are good, and the things that need adjusting. Help us to remember, God, that we all have this. And I pray that you would just protect us, Lord, from the enemy seeking to come in and bring condemnation and judgment. That's not how you see us. None of us are perfect. And that we are unique and specially crafted. And you're just adjusting us for where we are and for what you want us to do. God, I pray that you would help us to see the people in our lives around us that you have put with us in our journey to be who you've called us to be. The people that you have put us with for us to minister to be a mirror for us, to show us things about ourselves. Lord, help us as we go forward and grow together and minister together and know how we are to minister together as we go further on down this road of 2021. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let me ask you these questions for those of you that are on the Facebook and don't have these in front of you. The question is, how well do you know yourself? Do you see what Jesus has been doing in you these past 3 years? And list those things. How have you done in joining Jesus in his work on you? How have you done in joining Jesus in his work through you to impact others? And what is Jesus showing you about the time that we are in now at Community of Grace? And what does Jesus want you to join him in doing at Community of Grace? Now, let me just say this, and I'll end with this, is that some of you listening may not go here. Some of you listening may attend another church. And so these last two questions where I ask about, you know, what is God showing you about your involvement in Community of Grace and joining with his work there, put your church's name in there. So God bless you. And for those of you tuning in through Facebook, I'll see you next week.